Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Very good. We're going to talk about our favorite subject, about this group of people called the Federal Reserve System. I think they have something to do with money. And things are really popping around, and people getting worried and excited, and they know they live in historic times, but the markets are really expressing the fact that there is a lot of prices going up rather quickly. So we're going to be talking about that, and I think it's important. One of the things I'll talk about as we go along in the program is to get the definitions right, because everybody's worried, and even, you know, they constantly talk about, the inflation rate. And right now, this, you know, the chairman is talking about, well, yeah, we think we can finally get inflation up to 2%. Maybe it might take 2 or 3 years, which gets to be a bit silly, because even if you go just with the prices of some goods and services, it's a lot higher than that. If you go with the prices going up for poor people and middle class, it's different than if you're in a wealthy class. So it goes on and on. And besides, we'll keep, talking about this a little bit, but I keep making the point that the inflation is out there already. What we're talking about is when are the consequences are going to be coming, and that is the uncontrolled price increases in various places. So that is a big subject. People are going to be hurt, and there's a lot of ramifications that when the old-fashioned type of inflation everybody talks about is when the prices start to go up, the CPI go up, the PPI going up, gasoline prices going up, medical care costs going up, all of a sudden this hurt. And Chris, one thing for sure that's going to hurt a lot of people is, and you think the budget deficit is bad, when it comes up where they had to pay higher rates of interest for government debt, they're going to be very, very ambitious in trying to create a system where they can avoid that. But eventually, though, they can't get away with it. They can't fool all the people all the time into saying, just print money and everybody's going to be healthy. Printing money and passing out money is passing out wealth. And they have been able to get away with it. People are delighted right now. They were going to pass $1.9 trillion. The government doesn't have any money. They never have money. They have to take it from somebody, or they have to print it. And that is, has nothing to do with wealth. Matter of fact, it's a destruction of wealth. It's dilution of real wealth. And it's such a deception, because the people on the long term are worse off. Now, sometimes the long term is pretty long. Year, 2, 3, or 4 years, but I think right now, long term is next week. What's going to happen last week? But we've certainly been in the shorter period of time in the long term, because I considered back in September, in 2019, when the overnight rates, the borrowing rates overnight, soared to 10%, and it was sort of the announcement. There was no more attempt to shrink the balance sheet and pretend they were getting inflation under control. So the market, sounded the whistle, and the stocks were going down, and the Fed says, we're quitting. We're not going to try this shrink the balance sheet anymore. And that to me was a big event, but they've still been operating, still printing like crazy. Stock market's been doing pretty good. But yesterday, Chris, as you are much aware, that there was a crisis becoming more evident, and all of a sudden, short-term interest rates were going up in spite of what the government is doing. So they have to get busy and see if they can contain that. But the market is screaming louder and louder every day that the Fed's inflation that they've been working with for many, many decades, but especially bad since the year 2000 with the Great Depression, with the QEs and all that, and then with this crisis last year. When you look at that, it's all of a sudden, boy, they have been creating a lot of inflation. And now today we'll talk some on what are the consequences of inflation, because the inflation is already there. And one characteristic that makes it so dangerous is some people benefit and some people you know, are disadvantaged and they lose on it. And a lot of people lose, but some a lot more than others. But there will be some on the bailouts. Everybody knows the wealthy seems to get the bailouts and not the poor people. Even though it's many in the middle class and the poor people, I can't wait for my $1,200 check. You know, we need it. You know, I imagine they do, but it's not because they have a shortage of money. It's because they have a shortage of value in their currency, and it's grossly distorted, and that's what we're suffering from.
Yes, Dr. Paul, and central planning, as always, is failing. And we have a chart that we're going to bring up here to show you how the Fed is failing. And this is this chart shows the money supply going back to 1960. And look all the way on the right at 2020. You know, for all of these decades, they've been going nuts printing money. But look when 2020 hit. It's like a hockey stick. And they're not done. This is, they're not finished. So these are all the trillions that all at once they have put into the economy. And Powell, amazingly, he says, well, it'll take about more than 3 years for us to see the effects of inflation. And you know what? I want to paint a picture for our viewers. Imagine being at a bar with your buddies, you know, you're all drinking beer. And all of a sudden you go and you grab a half a bottle of vodka and you drink it all down at once. And this is unprecedented. You've never done this in your life. And you afterwards you tell your buddies, yeah, I might feel this in about 3 days. And they'll look at you and be like, 3 days? Or like 3 minutes? You've unleashed havoc on your body. And this is what the Fed has done to the economy. They have unleashed havoc. And perhaps it hasn't kicked in yet, but it will kick in just like that vodka would kick in if you down it like that. And the consequences are going to be nasty.
Very good, Chris. And you alluded to the fact that a big deal here is confidence. And seems like they've been able to achieve a lot more than they deserve, and a lot more than some people expect. And they do restore a bit of confidence. But the cost is the maldistribution of wealth, the hatreds that build with class struggles, and also the being locked in to continuing. They're addicted to it. They can't stop it. Like I said, in 2019, there was a message sent there, no more shrinkage of the balance sheet. We can't do it. And right now they're saying we're working real hard because they claim that a price inflation rate of 2% or more is a sign of economic growth. It's total insanity because that's the total, they're measuring destruction of wealth. And actually, when you have a sound currency in a free market, prices generally go down, and it's a good thing because the purchasing power of the money goes up and people are happy with it. But no, the interpretation is that if you have inflation rate, that means there's a lot of business activity and prices go up, and they're measuring price increases, not economic activity. And they have, ever since 1987, had a precise obligation of the plunge protection team. That's a group of our government bureaucrats to come in and rescue the economy when it's in bad shape. And you know, that's made up of the Fed and the SEC and the Treasury Department. And now actually they're dealing with international financing through SDRs, which is a major event going on. So they have all these things. And they believe, like yesterday, things were bad, and then the Fed came in. The stock market at one time was down 500 or 600 points. The Fed came in. Oh, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Reassurance, and they're just—it's an obsession with this, and they're able to calm the markets down. But believe me, that is short term, and that's making them feel better. It's like taking pain pills, and it doesn't last very long. And I think we can expect a lot more of this. I think we're moving from a period of time where the inflation, the money supply, was going into stocks and bonds, and now it's shifting. It's been trying to shift, but I think it's more dramatic all the time, that it's shifting over to commodities and purchasing power of goods and services. And it reminds me a lot about what we experienced in the 1970s. And the solution in the 1970s, Nixon brought most of that on, but the solution was wage and price controls, which was a total disaster. And they will always come up with the gimmicks of how they're going to solve this problem, because the medicine that is necessary, and that is living within our means, protect the value of the dollar, have something that measures value more accurately, like a sound currency, that is not very, very advantageous for the politicians. The politicians are in the business of deceiving the people that they can take care of them, and they just have to have unlimited supplies of currency and money that they can spend and pretend people will get better. So yes, that's what goes on, but eventually his confidence will be lost. It's starting to be lost. The dollar is not as, the people around the world are not as confident in the dollar again. And when they have a problem, they can always print more and keep the interest rates low. There's a lot of deception goes on with low interest rates, but eventually it doesn't work. And that's what we're on now, right now, on a balancing act of the low interest rates don't work. And that's, and it's just starting. You know, the cycles on bonds, when they decide that the price of bonds are going to go down and interest rates are going to go up, I think the bell has rung. I think we're in that right now, and there's people starting to feel it, but I think it's minor. The last big bond bear market, like 20 years it can go. And the bull market lasted longer, more than 30 years. So bond markets move more slowly. And you'd think, well, they should know what's going to happen. Why do they keep buying these things? Well, on the short run, the Fed says we're going to print and go out there and speculate, take interest rates to below zero, and they hang in there. But I tell you what, I think there's a significant event ongoing right now, and we're going to see this shift to where the money's going to go, and it's going to go out of bonds and out of stocks, and you're going to see a lot of price inflation in commodities, and they're going to get their CPI finally to go up, and then they'll say, oh, we didn't know it would be like this. Maybe we shouldn't be working so hard to get the CPI to go up. So we'll have to wait and see what the reaction of when the CPI is at 5 or 6%, which it very easily could become, you know, in time, you know, 6 months, year, 2 years, something like that. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, Dr. Paul, you make a great point that everything is always okay, and they're, at least in what they say, they have everything under control. But that's what politicians, bureaucrats, Fed chairmen, they do. They say whatever they want in order to get the emotional response that they want out of the public. I also wanted to point out, we're not necessarily calling for hyperinflation, where everybody's going to be burning their dollars in the fireplace or carrying them around in wheelbarrows. While that's not impossible, it's not probable, at least not yet. But think about the last year of all the tens of millions unemployed, all the small businesses that were destroyed by government lockdowns. Americans are now relying on a continuous stream of stimulus checks. And we hear and read that Americans can't even handle a $400 emergency. So forget hyperinflation. What about just regular, normal to high, moderate to high inflation? What if we see rates at inflation rates at 5% or 7% or 10%? Are Americans ready for that kind of hit to their standard of living? Because their standard of living is going to go down. You're going to be able to buy less with what you have. So you don't need hyperinflation in order to feel the economic pain. You could just have moderate to high inflation. And that, we believe, the Fed has for sure set into motion.
That is absolutely right, and I think what we're going to see, though, in this transition, and we can't predict because I don't think we've ever been at this spot we're in right now, Because, you know, when they'd run into a problem, the economy is turning down and they need to do something, they kept lowering interest rates. And for a long time, they got away with that. And then they'd bump it up and have a mini recession that got bigger and bigger, and then it wouldn't work. And finally, in the year 2000, with the conclusion, you know, of the housing bubble, it was in a lot of trouble. So that was when the QE started. And at the time, the global debt at that time, you know, the sovereign debt, when you add it up, it was huge. It was $87 trillion. And they worried about that and how to do it. But they had it on the books. And as long as the dollar was strong and the dollar managers could take care of it, that was fine. But now there's another problem. And the IMF, Yellen just announced, what the IMF to do, and that is to monetize this debt. They want the IMF to start getting these special drawing rights, which sit around there, and it's absolute international fiat. And some people, they think they can make an international currency out of it, which they can't. That's not going to happen, even though the Fed owns some gold and a few other things. That can't happen. But the problem is they're going to exchange SDRs for sovereign debt where countries are bankrupt. And the argument is, oh, we're going to do this because there's a lot of poor countries have lived beyond their means, and we're going to help the indigent and third world nation, which is a bunch of baloney. They're going to try to prevent some of us from becoming third world countries by bailing them out with SDR. The global debt now went from $87 trillion to $281 trillion. And here they're saying that we're going to start off with $500 billion a year of creating these SDRs out of thin air, where they can exchange those for sovereign debt and pretend that the SDRs is representing more wealth than some of this sovereign debt. And there'll be a time when people even with dollars would rather have something other than that. And I think that's why they're looking for alternate currencies around the world. And this is something that it's way out of control, and it won't work. They won't be able to bail out. There's a plunge protection team that can't do it. The Federal Reserve can't do it by lowering interest rates. That's what the story is right now. They did it for 10 years, and that meant the interest rates were going down and the price of bonds were going up. So a lot of people made a lot of money in the bond market, and the bonds are being attacked right now even more than the stocks. And you have to remember, the bond market is significantly bigger than the stock market. It's 30% bigger than all the stocks. So there's tremendous wealth in the bond market, but there's a tremendous dissipation of real wealth when you put it into debt, and the value of that keeps going down. So the money managers and the politicians of the world have a big job on their hand to rescue this international economy and this crisis. But it isn't those who are managing, that should be worried. How about the people? It's the people who are going to suffer from this. This is why people are so upset, is that their simple answer to everything, our people around the world, is they don't have enough money. Well, that isn't it. If you get currency, they can create all the currency they want. There's a lot of it, and there's going to be more. They don't have a lot of real money, real savings, honest money. They don't have enough purchasing power. And they have accepted the belief, and many people around the world still believe it, that if you create fiat money and pass it out, that you're going to pass out wealth and people will be better off. It's not true. It makes things much worse, but we're living with it and we're addicted to it. So unfortunately, I see a lot more inflation coming, and what it will do is right now, for the 10 years especially, it meant the Fed just had to work harder, monetize more, keep the interest rates lower, and that made everybody happy. But that's not going to work anymore. And what happens is the people have to do something, so they take their money and they try to put it somewhere where they think they can keep purchasing power, and that's why you see the variety of things of where this money will go. But I think it's out of the hands of the plunge protection team and from the IMF. The IMF is not going to solve the problem, nor will the Federal Reserve come up with anything new and unique, because they have given us a situation that there is no answer to without biting the bullet. That we have to admit that we cannot live beyond our means, and I've said for years, if you live beyond your means as an individual or as a company, you will be destined to live beneath your means. And right now, our government, our country, is starting to live beneath this its means, and just doing the same thing over and again means that our means are going to shrink. And there's an answer to it. It is found in free markets and sound money and people interested in liberty rather than getting stuff for free and getting into wars we don't need to get war. We have to change that concept. A lot of people are talking about significant change in the big concept, but it's not what they're not what I'm talking about. They're talking about more government, more world government, and more authoritarianism, not more liberty. That's what we have to talk about.
Absolutely, Dr. Paul. I'll finish up by hopefully driving home the point that you have to keep your eye on the Fed, blame the Fed. You know, when the whirlwind of inflation comes, you have to know where it's coming from. And if there's one thing that the swamp is expert at, it's keeping Americans focused elsewhere. They will keep the focus off the Fed for sure. Anything and everything will be blamed except the Fed. And it'll be the usual routine. The media will parrot something. The CEOs and the corporations, they do, you know, everybody sees now how tightly tied they are to the government. You know, and actors and athletes and universities, it's the same thing. So whatever it is that will be blamed for the plight of what is happening with inflation, you could be sure that the Fed will be protected. But we know better, and the tens of thousands of people that watch us each day, each week, across all of our platforms know better. And even beyond this show, there are many, many, many people that know about the Fed. The cat is out of the bag, and we have to always be grateful. I don't mean to put him on the spot, to the host of this show, Dr. Paul, because he provided the spark that so many people all over the world understand now about central banking and specifically the Fed. And, you know, it's the same story. Dr. Paul was way ahead by decades. Central planning always fails. This time will not be different.
Very good. Thank you, Chris. I want to close with making four points, which I have made before today and today, but I think it's something, these four points is we have to address, because this is where I think the misinformation is and people are misled. Sometimes it's on purpose. The authorities do this on purpose because it distracts from the real culprit, and that is money mismanagement by the Federal Reserve. But the first thing is the CPI. The CPI is a result of inflation. It isn't the inflation. Matter of fact, like I said, actually the CPI goes down and the purchasing power goes up and people get wealthier when you have sound money. But this whole idea that the CPI represents it's a consequence of inflation, it is not the inflation. The other thing is that people believe that if you can print money and create credit and pass it out, you're helping people, you're giving them wealth, and this is a benefit, and we do it all the time. In modest ways, it doesn't seem to hurt as much, but right now, we're doing it to the tune of tens of trillions of dollars. I mean, just this past year, this chart that Chris put up is so dramatic of what has happened. We've seen charts like this before of money supply growing, but this last year, this is going to go down in history as one of the biggest monetary inflations ever. And the consequences of this are not yet fully felt. And that's why we warn people, and also to offer the answer to it, because there is an answer to it. And the other thing, the other fallacy that has to be challenged is what we've all been taught in our college economic courses, and everybody in Washington essentially believe in it because it's convenient, it fits their scenario, it fits their philosophy, and that is that debt doesn't matter. Well, debt does matter, because it costs a lot of money, and with interest rates going up now, it's going to be more costly than ever, and just precipitating the crisis, lowering the standard of living, and a lot of people are going to be a lot unhappier, and it's going to create more of the divisiveness between the classes. The poor and the rich are going to fight it out because they think that it's unbalanced, and it is, but they don't exactly know that. They think if we just tax people more and regulate people more rather than let a market work, and think more about preserving the value of a currency so that we have a proper standard of living that we can use to price our goods and our services and our interest rate. And the other thing that has to be addressed is the whole idea that this isn't a Republican thing. You know, right now, the Republicans are pretty, you know, we've heard Republicans saying some reasonable things about $1.9 trillion. Oh, they're deceiving us, they're fooling us, and we can't afford it. Well, you know, we just had 4 years, you know, where we had a Republican president, a lot stronger Republican Congress, and all these things. But when Republicans are in charge, nothing ever changes. So it's good that when you're on the out that you can at least make the statements, but it's deceptive if you don't believe in it. So this is the trouble, because they've been taught, so many people have been taught that it's a fallacy, that you have to be concerned about debt. Debt is good because you can create treasury bills and you can monetize them. So they turn it around to say that debt is really a great benefit. On the short run, debt can be used wisely and that, but not when government creates it out of thin air and then passes it out as sound money. This is just a recipe for disaster. And I think that's what we're facing. The exact consequence of what will happen, Chris pointed that out so clearly, we don't know. There's a important principle in Austrian economics, and it's called the subjective theory of value. Because, you know, if what I'm referring to was true, why didn't this happen 5 years ago? You don't have, because there's a subjective element to this, and the people don't, you can pass out the money to the people, and that doesn't mean you know what they're going to do with it. Even this free money in the last year, people are upset. We just sent out all this money, and some of them saved it. You know, things like that. We didn't know they were going to do that, and we want them to go out and spend it on goods and services and buy a house. So it's the people, and that is why Mises' great book was called Human Action, because people make the final decision, and this is why people go along with this for a long time, and they feel their way, and they don't understand it. But in a free market, people would make their own decisions and nobody else. But in central economic planning, everything is directed, and they expect things to go their way, and that is impossible. We do not know the exact future. We do not know the timing, but we do know some economic laws. And one economic law that I wish more people would learn and understand is if you print money out of thin air, it's going to go down in purchasing power, it's going to go down in value, and does not add to the prosperity of a country. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.